The UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has released a new report that explores how land use relates to climate change. The IPCC is warning that people must change the way they grow and consume food, reduce waste, and manage forests, wetlands, and agricultural lands in a warming world. University at Albany Professor of Geography and Planning Andre Lapinus is a climate scientist with experience working with the IPCC. He was a contributing author to the 1990 IPCC First Assessment Report and studies human-caused climate change.
We are in a state of climate emergency around the world. There are already first climate emigrants, people who have to leave their countries because of sea level rise. But, sea level rise actually accelerated by warming temperatures. And so there are serious grave consequences for many people. And yet the response is, I would say, minuscule. So it's very small political and economic response to this big threat to people.
This report, this is almost telling us to eat better, correct? It's saying more vegetables and fruits, more animal products that are produced in a sustainable environment. If we cut back on the average American eating meat, would that have a significant effect on reducing greenhouse gas emissions?
It will have a visible effect on greenhouse gas emissions from agricultural sector, yes. And yes, this report as adaptation and mitigation strategy names actually changing the diet, reduce in waste and loss of food. The total emissions from agriculture, they're about a third of emissions produced by all other sectors, so industrial, residential, transportation, and so on. From this third, I would say another third relates to food production. So by eating vegetarian, you're reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And I'm not calling for everybody to go vegetarians, but by reducing waste and by preserving food, for example, by better packaging, by storing on farms, we can contribute to the reduction of greenhouse gases. That's absolutely true, yeah.
But the big issue is still reducing carbon emissions.
Yes.
And
yeah.
A big chunk of that comes from
fossil fuels
and also plastics production.
And plastic production.
So how do we change the hearts and minds of people who have been so habituated into their diet or the way they consume goods and purchase things?
That's
the question,
that's
right?
That's the question, I guess, right. I'm a climate scientist, and what I see over years of research is that our findings, some of the findings which you can find in this report, in the recent IPCC report, is actually 30, maybe 20 years old, and there is not enough attention to what we actually discovering. So if you go to see a doctor, and doctor tells you that most likely, and this is our language in IPCC, most likely, highly likely, moderately likely. So we should be honest and say that each forecast has a certain degree of uncertainty. But doctor would tell you that there is moderately likely you have a serious life-threatening disease. What your response to that would be? You would like to take more tests, perhaps, basically see, have a second or third opinion. So you will act on that information, which is scientific information received from first test, for example. If you transfer this situation to climate change, we're actually ignoring these warnings from scientists that there is a moderate and even high risk of large changes in ecosystem, a global ecosystem. So I don't know how what we can do. In addition to education, maybe educational programs, which, I'm part of, discussions like this one. So basically let people know what's going on in, in climate change. I think we should use every possibilities. I'm not talking about political changes, but this is what we would like to see. We would like to see that policy will change. So institutional response, we would like to see institutional response to what we basically are finding.
when it comes to land use and looking at this report, it's important then, I'm assuming, that governments and nations change how they do things. They're going to have to grow certain crops in certain areas, right? Or things that are going to be more sensitive to a changing climate.
Right. First of all, up to some extent, it's happening now. We can see increase in biological productivity and agricultural productivities in higher latitudes. So countries like Canada, Russia, they benefit in part from this warming, at least from agricultural perspective. But if you move closer to the equator, you'll find actually losses in biological productivity. And this happens now. When we look back in Earth history, we're talking about timescale of thousands of years. So system had enough time to equilibrate with this warming, and all feedbacks, they responded to this warming. Right now, we don't have that time. What happens very fast. We can see certain responses which we could find in paleoclimates, including this increase in drought, in warm weather spells and so on. But for some, we have to wait. So speaking about the importance of this warming, scientists come to this consensus that if we keep temperature below 1.5 degree warming compared to early 20th century, then we should be pretty much okay. So it will be changes, but all these changes will be within the area where people can mitigate and definitely adapt to these changes. Perhaps we should be mostly okay if we're looking at about 2 degrees. Yes, the long-term consequences, and I'm talking about thousands of years, might be severe. But we hope that over 1,000 years timescale, humankind can resolve this somehow. But if we're talking about 2-3 degrees Celsius, the consensus is that that's pretty much will lead to catastrophic changes. It could lead to consequences which is just difficult to predict at this point.